The Hebrew Scripture lesson comes to us today from Deuteronomy. Reading from Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 to 21. Listen to God's word today. So now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? Only to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love God, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his decrees that I'm commanding you today for your own well-being. Although heaven and the heaven of heavens belongs to the Lord your God, the earth with all that is in it, yet the Lord set his heart in love on your ancestors alone and chose you, their descendants after them, out of all the peoples as it is today. So circumcise then the foreskin of your heart, and do not be stubborn any longer. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who is not partial and takes no bribe, who executes justice for the orphan and the widow, who loves the strangers, providing them food and clothing. You then shall also love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. You shall fear the Lord your God. God alone you shall worship. To God you shall hold fast, and by God's name you shall swear. For the Lord is your praise. He is your God, who has done for you these great and awesome things that your own eyes have seen. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So when is a song not just a song? When it's a spiritual. It's not unusual for a piece of music to have special meaning in your life. Couples will sometimes say, oh, that's our song. Kids find a new favorite piece and listen to it consistently for weeks on end. And for many of us, at some point, we had our hearts broken and consoled ourselves by listening to a sad ballad over and over again. But spirituals are actually different. They are complex and powerful musical creations arising out of the unique experience of African Americans brutally compelled to come and to live and work as slaves in a supposedly free land. Now, we may have partially domesticated some of the spirituals of old and turned them into nice songs. Right? This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, may seem like a pleasant Sunday school song for kids. But it means much more than just a kid's song when you sing about this light that you're gonna let shine in a world that would forcibly extinguish any spark of hope within your slave spirit. Hide it under a bushel? No. I'm gonna let it shine. Don't let Satan blow it out. I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine all the time. See, spirituals give a way for people imprisoned by the no of slavery in particular to sing out a defiant, life-sustaining yes of faith. Now, the exact origins of African slavery here in America are somewhat obscure. First Africans were sold in Jamestown around 1619, but they were probably not sold as perpetual slaves. It wasn't until around 1700 that the status of most Africans brought to America was made legally clear. They were slaves for life, and their children would inherit that condition. What was also clear, according to American law, is that slaves were property. Slaves were no longer someone, but something, a thing whose value could be measured and counted up and claimed as part of someone's personal wealth. The problem here, though, is that American law also attributed a certain amount of personhood to slaves. The law instructed slave owners to feed the slaves, to clothe them, to care for them in sickness and in old age, and to not capriciously kill or maim them. Now, no, these laws were not always followed. But they created then a legal absurdity. Slaves were both property and persons. But as theologian James Cone has written, the concept of property negated fundamentally the concept of personhood. To be a person means that you're in control of one's destiny, that you're able to make choices freely, and that you can interact with others as an equal. And all of that is precisely what slaves lacked. Now, another preacher and theologian, a man named Howard Thurman, looked upon this discussion and took it a step further. He said that slaves, in their best moments, were determined to be in a society that sought to eliminate their very being. When there were preachers that could offer positive words of faith on the southern plantations, what they would do was emphasize the somebody-ness of all the slaves. These men and women preachers spoke to their congregations about them being created in God's image, not about being slaves perpetually, but being God's children in all times and places. Now, those preachers and those people listening knew well that the vocabulary of their lives included the harshness of being snatched from a homeland, of being sold on an auction block, of enduring the fundamental brokenness of families when husbands are sold away from wives and children sold away from mothers. But through it all, the preachers and the lay leaders and the song leaders pointed to a God who was Lord over all field bosses and masters, and one who ruled even over death itself. So spirituals, this original American folk music, were ways to remember this particular God, as well as to call on this God to deliver God's people once more. To a God of freedom, they would sing and call on the God of freedom to free them. To a God of justice, they would implore God to be just in their lives, in their broken lands. Now, the spirituals wouldn't explicitly name the cruel master, the vicious field boss, the heartless auction block, the evil of slavery itself, because to name it was to risk even worse punishment. So instead, the songs told Bible stories, but stories that all focused on this God who was the God of freedom and justice. And so, the spiritual sang about little David who slew Goliath, how Joshua caused the walls of powerful Jericho to tumble down, how God protected Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego within the fiery furnace, how God's might clamped down the lion's jaw when Daniel was thrown into the den, and how Moses could stand defiantly before mighty Pharaoh in all of his wealth and power and say point blank, "Let my people go." Now, this sermon is not just a history lesson. Slavery was a foundational and a painful chapter in America's history, but the bitter roots of that part of our nation's family tree are still present and still bearing fruit in society now. Slaves were both persons and property, and that absurd tension still exists on many levels in life today. People still exist in relationships that are unbalanced, that are unjust, even abusive. People still work in situations where they no longer have true rights, where they have no voice that matters when decisions are being made. Around us, gay, lesbian, transgender, bisexual people still face prejudice in statute books and state constitutions and in places of employment. And there are many people who struggle with disease and infirmity, but around them, the structures of insurance and medical resources are simply not equally available. children around us all have the potential to learn and to grow and deserve quality education, but not all of them are part of structures that provide for them access to good and safe schools. The question is, have you ever felt like property? Have you ever felt like a commodity, someone whose worth is measured solely by what you could do or what you could earn for someone else? People are not property. That's a central fundamental message of the Christian faith. The message of the God who tells us still to light our light and to shout to the world's enslaving pharaohs, "Let my people go." You, each of you, each of us, are somebody. Don't let anything or anyone or any institutional power try to tell you otherwise. And spirituals are one antidote to all that would dehumanize us and keep us from being people of faith. Spirituals were sung years ago as a way that sparks of humanity and personhood might not be extinguished by slavery. But once that light has been rekindled, then what comes next? The next step happens when a person sings like the spiritual we just heard. I want Jesus to walk with me. I want Jesus to walk with me all along my pilgrim journey. I want Jesus to walk with me. We affirm our personhood, our humanity as children of God, by walking. Let me explain. After Moses came down from Mount Sinai, he shared with the gathered people the commandments and the laws. And then, after all that was spoken, he summarized for them in one speech the heart and the soul of the Torah. And it's found in Deuteronomy 10. And Moses said, "So now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? God requires this: to fear the Lord your God, to love your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and walk in God's ways." Now that wisdom is still true today, the injunction to walk in God's ways, because you're a person, a child of God. You're not stationary, you're not inert, you're not property, you are not a thing owned by a slave master, you're not a category controlled by an abusive relationship. You are not simply a thing that is trapped in an addiction to drugs, to alcohol, to gambling, to porn. You are not a thing defined by a self-hatred that would lead to anorexia or cutting. You are not a thing and a commodity where labor laws take away your voice and your rights. You are not a thing, a quality of life that social prejudices erect barriers around due to your sexuality, due to your age, due to your marital status, due to your income or zip code. You, all of us, belong to Christ, and you're called to walk in God's ways as God's beloved child. That means walk away from abuse and drugs and brokenness, and walk towards freedom and hope and dignity and justice. Moses described this walk of faith as being both personal and interpersonal. It's personal in that, as he put it, we are to circumcise the foreskin of our hearts. All right, I know that's an old and somewhat awkward image for us today, but it is very straightforward. Circumcise, remove, break, cut away the stony covering around your heart. Do not be captive to fear and hatred. Set literally your heart free. How? Well, Moses says that one of the ways to do this is to love the stranger, for we were all strangers in Egypt. Many of us, it's true, in our own stories, were immigrants to this land, certainly immigrants to this city. Many also trace their roots to the forcible immigration of slavery. But inasmuch as we've spent time in Egypt in some shape or form, we're called to care for one another around us, who are also strangers in a strange land in some way, and to then walk forward together by faith, the personal and the interpersonal. Someone once said that being a Christian is not so much a matter of who you are, but a matter of what you are becoming. A life lived in relationship with Christ is marked by a heart that is not only strengthened and expanded and set free by God in Christ, but is also in that openness open to others. Your personhood is tied to seeing and affirming others' personhoods. And that's why a walk of faith is always a walk in community, amidst and beside one another. So we're beginning this season, this walk towards Easter. And the question is not so much who are you, but rather who are you becoming? Are you walking forward and walking in the ways of God? And if so, then who are you walking with? Who is beside you by choice and by circumstance or by opportunity and by an expansive spirit? And is there someone in that community around you that you can invite to church to walk with you, to open themselves up to the Word, to sing the spirituals of faith with you so that the good news of Christ may offer healing and hope in their heart in this broken and hurting world where we all take up residence? So think about those questions this season. And here again Moses' wise words. So now, East Liberty Presbyterian Church, what does the Lord your God require of you? Fear the Lord your God. Walk in God's ways. Love and serve God with all your heart and with all your soul. And love the stranger, for you too were once strangers in a foreign land. And as you let your light shine, and as you walk by faith, becoming fully a person, a child of God and of Christ's own redeeming, pray that that same Christ, our Lord and Savior, will guide your feet ever forward. Thanks be to God. Amen. God.